ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. ऐ फर्गॉट, डिड वी कंप्लीट दिस सर्वमंगल? यस. सो दिस हिम प्रकृतिं परमां हैज बीन composed by Swami Abhedanandaji, and he had sung it, chanted it in front of Holy Mother. Holy Mother was very happy and she blessed. This idea that the whole universe has come from the Divine Mother, Shakti. Sri Ramakrishna used to call Brahman and Shakti one and the same. What is the difference? That Brahman, if it can be conceived without any activity, and it is impossible to conceive without, because we are conceiving through our mind, that is called Brahman. That is why nirguna means no guna. Without guna, there is also no activity. This activity of the at the cosmic level is called Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. Second verse of the Sarvamangala, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani. So this idea is also expressed in tantric language. The whole universe comes from the womb of the Divine Mother. It's also called Brahma Yoni. Yoni means the origin, the cause. That is why Sri Ramakrishna had different visions of the Divine Mother. First of all, I think I mentioned it. One day he was strolling on the banks of the Ganga. Then he saw a beautiful young woman. Did I mention it last time?
Yes.
Second time, he had a vision of the Mother Saraswati. As she was playing the veena, the very sound, this is called Shabda Brahma. There is a special philosophy called Spotavada. Spota means vispota, spontaneous explosion. Spota means spontaneous explosion. What the modern scientists, without understanding, call it Big Bang. So out of that, the whole universe has come. So as Mother Saraswati was playing, slowly the creation has started. It started expanding, expanding, expanding. And then slowly her play was coming to an end. And slowly the all the expansion of the universe started becoming less and less and less. So that is what they call in tantric language Bindu. From Bindu the whole thing has come. If we may say so, I don't think it is appropriate. That is what they call in modern physics point of singularity. But the only problem with this is, scientists are not sure whether this is the only one-off. It is not one-off. It is a constant. Pralaya, then sthiti. Pralaya, sthiti. It is happening every second, individual level. Cosmic level, there are different time periods which Hindus call pralaya. But the point is, every time, the cause of this universe is called Shakti, Divine Mother. And then what happens in our day-to-day experience? When a baby is born, the baby is conceived, nourished, protected, and then after giving birth also for a long time, who protects? It is the mother. Therefore, this idea, the baby is the nearest, closest. That idea somehow it has come to us. So there are certain characteristics of the Divine Motherhood. The first characteristic is she is the yoni or origin from where we have come. Now there is a understanding, whatever something effect comes from the cause, effect must have the same nature as the cause. Therefore, if we are coming from the Divine Mother, then we are also divine. This is what Swami Vivekananda said, each soul is potentially divine. This is the source of the entire universe, every single thing. So, by this also, we have to understand something very important. And that important thing we have to understand is, it's not only human beings. Anything that comes out of the Divine Mother cannot be but Divine Mother. We usually divide the world into living as well as non-living. That's why Hindus, a mountain, and this earth, the rivers, anything that is in existence is nothing but Satchidananda, but certain characteristics are not manifest. For example, in this table, only one characteristic of divinity is manifesting, which is called Sat, only Sat. So, Chit and Ananda not manifest. The scientists vaguely, indirectly, they also discovered the, somehow the inorganic has become organic. Inorganic means what? Without life. Suddenly it is endowed with life. The problem that comes is, where from this life has come? If it was not already inherent there, this is a scientific law, whatever is not there can never come out. If at all it comes out after some time, it definitely proves that it was there potentially inside, the right time has come, it has come out. So the first characteristic of the Divine Mother is that she is the origin of this entire universe. Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunashraye Gunamai Narayani Namostute. Second, who is the closest to the child? It is only the mother. That's why whole life, our, if you really analyze, most of the time we are closer to the mother rather than to the father. Father also is closer, but it is the mother. That's why, what is the first word that usually comes out?
Mama.
Ma, mother only. That is very important for us to understand. She is the closest to us. She protects, she nourishes whatever we have. Whatever we have, we owe to the mother. That's why Matro Devo Bhava, first preference is given to the mother. Sanskrit language, when we are using dualistic words like Sita Rama, we don't say Rama Sita. It looks a little bit odd. Radha Krishna, like that. Sri Narayana, Lakshmi Narayana. First comes the mother, then comes the father, like that. Agalilva? So this is the first thing, what did we say? She is the origin. Second thing, what did we say? She is the closest to us. Third thing, her love towards her children, a mother's love towards her children, or what do we call it? Completely all-encompassing love, first of all, impartial love. There is not the slightest difference between her love between the grown-up and the baby, the sick or the healthy child, towards all. This is what Holy Mother represented in a remarkable statement for me, my son Sharat and my son Amjad are exactly one and the same. She did not merely say it, she really meant it. What is the difference? Upadhi, the limitation through which the Divine Motherhood is being expressed. That is the only difference. So that is the third thing that we see, all-encompassing love and impartial love. The fourth characteristic that we see, that what is called Sahana Shakti. Mother has to bear with all the good things or bad things that the children will do. With infinite patience, she goes on, because she knows my child, two things. My child is, first of all, ignorant. Secondly, my child is also helpless. Ignorance and helplessness. That is why the mother goes on putting up with whatever the child does it. This is the fourth characteristic. What is the fifth characteristic? Mother can forgive anything. This is called Kshama Shakti. Mother can forgive anything in this world. There is nothing a real mother cannot forgive. That's why even the great Shankara has to say, Kumato jayeta kvachidapi, kuputro jayeta kvachidapi kumata na bhavati. There may be many, many bad sons, but a bad mother is almost impossible to find.
Agidhya?
Bo.
Ega, avaru yaru barudalla. So they are all conducting there only. Wonderful. Oh, idu solpa. It is moving like that. Loose agidi. Idu ikkade bartha ide. So hello. Hello. Oh, this is, please reduce it a little. The echo should not come. Nimage chana kelta idiya? So this is very good. Excellent. Hello. Hello. Yeah, it's beautiful. Very good. So, all forgiving. The mother's characteristic is completely forgiving. Then the next qualific characteristic of the Divine Mother is the whole thing is a Leela. Leela Mai. For her, that is why in the Lalita Sahasranama, and that perfectly illustrates what we are talking here. Lalita Sahasranama, Mithya Jagad Adhishtatri Muktida Mukti Rupini. She is the empress of this what universe? Mithya universe. But Mithya for whom? Not for us. Mithya for her. This is what is called Leela. What is Leela? Like watching a cinema. You can enjoy it. It is an experience, but it is not real. That's why any number of murders you can happily enjoy in the cinema. But even a little bit of slight, some such thing in the what we call actual life, it is intolerable. But to Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful experience was there. One day, this happened after his mind came down from Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Continuously, after Totapuri Maharaj had left, Sri Ramakrishna was continuously in Nirvikalpa Samadhi for 6 months. Most marvelous story. At that time, he was completely unconscious about the external world. Then, from somewhere, a sadhu had come, and he recognized by the grace of the mother that this man is in the highest samadhi and his body needs to be protected. So he used to keep a small stick, and then if necessary he used to call out, shout, and if Thakur's mind comes down a little to the body level, he used to keep some food ready and push it inside his mouth. But if it was not coming down, he used to beat. So when the body consciousness comes, then he used to put the food inside. So sometimes Sri Ramakrishna said, a little food goes down, most of the time it was falling out. The moment Sri Ramakrishna got commandment of the Divine Mother, you remain in Bhavamukha. Bhavamukha is a state between Nitya and Leela. So it is like a person standing in the doorway. He can see inside, he can also see outside. Like CCTV, you know, you can be inside, you can see outside also. So a man knows what is the truth, and at the same time he enjoys this beautiful show. This is called Leela. So this is the one of the characteristics of the Divine Mother. That's why she is called Leela Mayi. The whole universe is nothing but a Leela. And this Leela has been so marvelously expounded by Shankaracharya in two books, in one book, Ananda Lahari or Saundarya Lahari. Lahari means, you know what is Lahari? Wave. Lahari means wave. So what is the wave? The Nitya is called the ocean. And whatever comes out upon the Nitya is called Lahari. Taking this beautiful concept, Swami Premeshanandji Maharaj, I know how many of you have heard about him. He was a disciple of Holy Mother. He wrote a beautiful, such profound, depthful meaning. Arupa Shayare Leela Lahari Uthilo Mridula Karuna Bhai Adi Antahin Akhande Bilil Mayai Dorile Manava Kai. Through Maya. And that is what Bhagavan Krishna is telling in the fourth chapter. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yo Veti Tat Tatvata Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Surjana. Anyway, what is the important point? From Advaita Vedanta divides man's views into two categories, or rather even strictly speaking, three categories: Paramarthika, Vyavaharika, and Pratibhasika. Pratibhasika means even now we experience, but we know it is not real. For example, you look at their reflection, you see it clearly. Whatever we see is an experience, and whatever we experience must be real, but it is very temporarily real. A dream, a cinema, a reflection. These are the three. Are finding water in a desert, Marumarichika. These are called Pratibhasika Satya. This is the one. Then there is a Vyavaharika, phenomenal, where we transact in this world. This is also transaction in this world. This is also called, what is it called? Just now I told you, Vyavaharika Satya. It is phenomenal world. What is it? It is a little more real than Pratibhasika. How do I know? Because if you had thought it Pratibhasika, you would not have come to attend my class, which clearly indicates it is Vyavaharika Satya. This Vyavaharika Satya lasts until we get knowledge and get out of this. Then what is the highest? Paramarthika, spiritual, transactional, and whatever you call it, Pratibhasika, appearance, not reality. It appears, it is not real. It is called Mithya. So in the Mithya also, one type of Mithya which we think is true, and another type of Mithya we clearly recognize, it appears but it is not true.
But the second and third are the same.
No. Second, third, from the Paramarthika view. See, this is what we are sitting here. This is called Vyavaharika Satya. In this Vyavaharika Satya, that we don't consider it as untrue, but we know it as a temporary truth. That is why we have to understand certain things very clearly. When we are practicing Viveka, Viveka is the very first quality we have to acquire, because that alone gives us what is to be attained. So this Viveka is of four steps. The first step is, I want to be happy, I don't want to be unhappy. So be very clear, do you want to be happy or do you don't want to be happy? It looks very silly question, who doesn't want to be happy? That's not the point. Do I make happiness as my goal of my life? Once I decide that one, I want to be happy, second step will be, which type of activities make me happy and which types of activities will hinder my happiness, obstruct my happiness. So first is sukha, dukkha, viveka. Second is karya, akarya, viveka. Third step is nitya, anitya, viveka. Now here nitya, we are talking about what is permanent. Anitya means not unreal. Anitya means impermanent. We know that a baby was not there yesterday. It is born only today. And we know that no object in this world lasts for any length of time. So that is called, there is something permanent, there is something impermanent. It is real at this time, but impermanent. Real but impermanent. That is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. You must always practice discrimination. What is temporary and what is permanent. This is the third step. Then this is called, what is it called? Nitya, anitya, viveka. Fourth step is called vastu, avastu, viveka. What is vastu means? Only one. Viveka Chudamani, Shankaracharya. Vastu means Brahman. Everything else is avastu means unreal. So in the Vyavaharika level, things are not unreal, they are real because we are experiencing them, but they are not permanent. If we can recognize that and behave accordingly, we will be far wiser and less unhappy. For example, anybody can die. But why do we suffer so much? When the news of somebody suddenly comes that that person has passed away, an accident happened, fortunes change, a person, some people get a job, some people lose their job, and anything can happen in this world. So we are experiencing them. We can't experience unreality. We can only experience reality. But what is reality has to be classified into that which is permanent and that which is temporary. This idea that everything is temporary, that is, we are not practicing. We think we are forever, even though our intellect knows that we are not forever. This is the most wonderful idea we have got. So, that...
Can you give an example of Paribhasika?
Pratibhasika. I gave three examples. One example is, you are looking at your face in a mirror. You see the reflection. The reflection is not unreal because you are experiencing it. But you can't do anything about it. You see, why do you look at your face? To do makeup. Do you do makeup to the reflected image or to you? So it serves a useful purpose. So this is called Pratibhasika. Cinema is drama, cinema is also Pratibhasika. That is the second example I gave. And seeing a vast body of water in the mirage is another example. So Swami Vivekananda was telling, he read about this, mirage. So he said, I read about it and I talked about it, but I never had any experience. So once I was traveling in Rajasthan, and I saw vast body of water, not only that, beautiful green trees on both sides of the water, and their shadows also in the reflected in the water. Said, why are these fellows suffering from lack of water when this vast lake is there? So I was trying to go near, and then I realized the more I am proceeding, the further it recedes. Then I am suddenly, oh, this is what I read about mirage. This is mirage. So this is not important. What's important now? Even after knowing this is a mirage, the mirage did not disappear. The mirage is still appearing. How long will it appear? Until sunset? It will appear. It is a wonderful experience. But now he will not react. Why? He knows this is bhranti. But it appears, experience. That is my point. Pratibhasika also, it appears. Is it clear? So we know that it is pratibhasika. That is why, as soon as makeup is done, you will go. If it is real, what would you do? You will don't want to move from that place. Go on staring at your own face. How beautiful it is. This is all for other people. This is very peculiar psychology. Supposing, the wife is absent, only husband is there, then one shoe will be pointing to Australia, another shoe will be pointing to Antarctica, because this is called home. What is home? Complete freedom. I can do whatever I like. But tomorrow morning wife is going to come, today everything will take its place. What is my point? My point is that Pratibhasika we know clearly, even though we are experiencing, it is insubstantial, experienceable but insubstantial. Vyavaharika, we don't know that it is unreal. Only by reading Vedanta books, and that too Advaita Vedanta books, because according to Dvaita and Visishta Advaita, they are absolutely real. Srishti is real, Sthiti is real, Dukkha is real. Even Visishtadvaita, some people go on to the length of saying, even dreams are also real. There is I don't want to go into these philosophical discussions, but there is a substantial truth in that. Dream is also real. What is the basis of this statement? Whichever state we are in, that state alone is the reality until we go to the next state of experience. Jagrat avastha, this is real. Sapna avastha, that is real. And Sushupti avastha, that is the reality. So we are thinking that is real, that is real, that is real. Come to the proper conclusion, which is real? I think I told, yeah. It has nothing to do with the mind.
If
it is from memory, it is your mind's action. Everybody will experience it. It is what you call trick of the eye, sight. Certain circumstances come together, intense heat, and then a flat surface. Something happens there.
Sunlight, so even, sunlight
and... What I want to say, it is not in our control. It is not subjective. So some people, they don't look at the water, they see only the desert. That is not going to happen. Even after you come to know it is a mirage, still the body of water will appear.
Nothing to do with us.
Nothing to do with any individual. It is a universal... Like, I can give you some example. The sky appears to be blue. Is it to your own experience or is it everybody's experience? It is just like that. So this is called Pratibhasika Satya. That is why it is called Satya. Pratibhasika means it has some usefulness also. What is usefulness? That when you are looking at it serves the purpose of makeup. And then this cinema serves its own purpose. India, Bollywood cinemas, you know, because the more a person suffers, the more he becomes a victim of cinema, addiction to cinema, because for a few hours he gets relief that at home I have to look at this person. But in cinema, everything, you know, palatial house, first class car and all those things, and then ultimately after 1.5-2 hours of entertainment, they won't show you more than that nowadays. And after that, the hero and heroine get married. After that, have you noticed, they don't show anything. This is personally only understandable, experienceable. So this is pratibhasika satya. Then vyavaharika satya. For pratibhasika satya, we know that it is pratibhasika satya, and still we use it for purposes. But vyavaharika satya, we think this is the paramarthika satya. That is our problem. Otherwise, you would not have attended this class. If it was pratibhasika satya, you would not have attended this class. This world is real, my bondage is real, my body mind is real. Somehow some scripture tells it is not real, so maybe it is true, I should have to get out. For that I have to come and attend the Swami Dayatmananda's class. This is vyavaharika satya. Then only through rationality we can deny it. How? This is the rationality. So what is it? What is vyavaharika satya? Waking state or dream state or dreamless state? You tell me clearly, you are going through these three states one after the other every single day of our life from birth to, then what is the reality there? What is the reality? You tell me clearly whether your waking state is real, dream state is real, or dreamless state is real. You are saying all the three are real. Reality by definition can only be one, not three. This is rationality. Nobody can answer this one, saying that both dream and deep sleep are part of the waking state, according to many psychologists. It is only Advaita Vedanta who says, and that is, we don't accept your view. All the three are separate and independent realities which every jiva is going through every single day. Anyway, we should not lose thread of...
Is there a state before birth and after birth?
What is your question? Is there a...
Is there a state, like you are saying, while I am living, I have these three states. Waking state...
Same thing happens in the past life. Same thing will happen
in... between there is a state, there is a death. After that, what state?
So... really speaking, there is no such thing. There is a kind of body, even when we don't have physical body, that's what we call bhuta, a ghost. So ghost also has got a sukshma sharira.
That also goes through these three
states. Anything that has got a body, a ghost also dreams, a ghost wife, ghost husband, ghost marriage. Ghost to dream girl. But I will tell you a real incident. These are all very important. When I went to Belur Mutt few years back, one Swami came and told me this incident. There is one of our trustees, Swami Chitta Maharaj, Bodha, I forget his name, Tattva Bodhananda. He was posted to Mauritius. So one day morning, he went to visit one devotee's house. So about 9:30, 10:30, something like that. Morning, in the afternoon. He went about 3:30, 4 o'clock in our car. Then that her husband seems to be working on that day in the factory. This lady, she did not know that Swami was coming to see them. She had taken bath and she was sitting on the terrace. A terrace means not the roof, It was a tiled land. So she was sitting there, and then she was drying her hair, her back towards the setting sun. And the Swami's car had come. So he saw her, stopped the car, got down. What was the Swami seeing? There was a female ghost. I did not ask the Swami, how did you recognize it's a female ghost? Whatever actions this lady was doing, the ghost was imitating it behind. If she does like that, ghost also does. If she does like that, ghost also was doing like that. So seeing that one, Swami also got scared. So he had one japa mala, he started doing japa. Suddenly the ghost disappeared. The lady saw, and then she came, welcomed him, and then had a cup of tea or anything. But Swami did not tell anything to her. Then he came back. Then he came to know something about it. Just at the moment this female ghost was doing these antics behind that lady, her husband was working in a workshop where the cranes are operating. So he was standing somewhere and something slipped. A huge weight was falling down. Somebody saw and shouted, and this man, you know, instinctively jumped. But a little bit of that fell upon his shoulder. Then he was to be hospitalized for 2-3 weeks. But he was saved. Now, the Swami's guess was that the female ghost was telling that very soon your husband will become my husband. But Swami was doing japam at this time. The ghost disappeared. At exactly at that moment this incident happened. He did not die, but he was saved. He had injured it, but he was saved. So this was what I told. I was very skeptical about this story. So I went there. Anyway, I can see how much attention you are paying to me. Because it's ghost stories, you know. I was talking about Brahma, no attention. Talking about ghosts, so much of attention. So, what happened? I went back to England and I used to hold classes on weekends, Saturday afternoon and Sunday regular class. I told this story. There was one regular Mauritius couple used to come, Krishna and Radha, their name was. So they also heard about it, and several years had passed, and after 5-6 years, one day this Krishna came and told me, Swamiji, do you remember you recollected one story about one lady taking? Yes. Why are you mentioning it now? Because that was my wife's mother. He himself told, but he was told, until she passes away, this incident should not be mentioned to anybody, otherwise she might get frightened. Now, just she passed away, I can tell you that is what had happened. And it is very true. See, Ramakrishna had seen ghosts, Holy Mother had seen, Swamiji had seen, Raja Maharaj had seen, so many had experience. Trigunatitanaji had a horrible experience, if you remember. Do you know that? Swami Trigunatitanandaji.
He had gone to Gulabna.
No, he was staying in a haunted house. He said when people wanted to tell it is a haunted house, he poo-pooed and said, I don't believe in all those. You fellows are superstitious, covered is, that's why you are talking like that. There was a beautiful house, big house. Nobody was staying there. So he went and said, that night at about midnight, a head without body, a ferocious appearance, very frightening, with one eye making a very piercing sound, it started going in circles round and round and coming near. He was a fearless man. Even he got scared. Sankatakale Venkataramana. So he started Thakur, Thakur, Thakur like that. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna appeared and he beckoned me, come. And then seeing Thakur, he got courage and went out. Then Ramakrishna warned him, foolish boy, there will be so many realities in this world. Don't ever do these things. Today you would have been killed. I can tell you a lot of stories, but I am not going to tell. Coming back to our subject, why did I mention all these things? Only for one reason, that in this peculiar world, Pratibhasika Satya is there, Vyavaharika Satya is there, but these will be sublated when Paramarthika Satya comes. So in the Pratibhasika Satya, many, infinite number of objects. In Vyavaharika, phenomenal experience, truth, infinite number of things, duality, dvandva. But Paramarthika Satya, there would be only one reality. There is no more. That is why the whole universe will disappear. Why? There is a simple reason. Where there is no mind, there will not be any body. Where there are no mind and body, the truth will only be, can only be one. For example, in deep sleep, how many things do you experience? Only one. That is you. That's all. Nothing else. So this is the truth about it. Now with this, let us come back. Swami Abhedananji, he is mentioning this Divine Motherhood to Holy Mother. This was not his first. Sri Ramakrishna himself had hymned Sarvamangala Srishti Sthiti Sharanagata Dinartha. That's why we incorporated that as our part of our third song. This is an expansion and a Sharanagati of that song. Prakrutim paramam, parama prakruti. You are the ultimate cause of this entire universe, what we call Brahma Yoni. Prakrutim paramam. So Advaita Vedanta borrowed heavily from Sankhya Yoga, from a school of philosophy called Sankhya Yoga. According to Sankhya Yoga, there are two eternal principles, Purusha and Prakruti. Purusha is all consciousness and Prakruti is completely inert. Somehow these two happen to come, which nobody can tell why. It's called Chit Jada Granthi, a knot between consciousness and inertness somehow. Then pure consciousness thinks, I am inert. And inert thing thinks, I am pure consciousness. In other words, the consciousness feels, I am the body, I am the mind. The body and mind think, I am the conscious being. And it doesn't seem to be strange at all. It seems to be the most natural thing in this world. Until a mosquito starts biting us and say, there is a problem with this kind of thing. So that is how mumukshutvam will come later on. Prakrutim paramam. And this particular shloka also illustrates Mother Kali's swarupa. I think I discussed about Mother Kali, did I?
No,
sir. It's, you see, when a non-Hindu looks at Mother Kali's image, you have weird ideas. But when we look, this is the most perfect illustration of the highest truth. So first thing that we see there in the Kali, whenever we look at Mother Kali, is that there is Divine Mother and beneath her feet, Shiva is there. Shiva and Shakti, Sanyoga, Shiva Shaktiya Yukto, Edi Bhavati Nashaktaha. So Sundarya Lahari starts with that. If Shakti is not associated with Shiva, then Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara will be totally incapable of discharging their special duties. Because without Shakti, Shiva becomes Shava. So, if you look at Mother Kali, then you notice few things. First of all, she is naked. And secondly, what is it? She has got four hands. And her hair is flowing. then you see that she is wearing a garland of skulls, and on the right upper hand will be this way, and the lower hand will be this, and the left hand one sword will be there, and a decapitated head will be there, and she is standing naked with this garland of skulls on Shiva. Shiva lies. What is the symbolism? Very briefly, I have to tell you that these four, the Shakti is Srishti Stiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatana. Without Shakti, there would be no activity at all. Without Shakti, there would be no activity at all. So, there are three aspects: Srishti, Stiti, and Laya. What does this hand symbolize? Abhaya. Abhaya means what? Srishti. What is it? You have nothing to fear, you are existing. Your existence is not in danger. This is a Abhaya. Okay, this is what Bhagavad Gita also tells. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Four types of devotees worship me. Artha, Artharthi, Jignasu, and Jnani. So, the first represents Artha. I am in distress. I am in danger of losing my life. No, I am here to protect you. This is the first thing we need. Second, I am not in danger, but I have got lots and lots and lots of desires. Oh mother, who else will fulfill? Only you can fulfill. So therefore, this hand, what is it called? Vara. In other day it is Venkateshwara, and all this you will get it. Abhaya Vara. Man's sight of the Divine Mother stops only there. He doesn't want to look at the other side. What is this? Srishti Stiti, okay, but Laya also is necessary. The sword represents Kala. It is hanging 24 hours. When it is going to come down, God alone knows. And then what does that skull, decapitated head represent? Constantly, where there is birth, there is death. Where there is existence, there will be also non-existence. I am not talking about absolute existence. I am talking about manifested. Avyaktadini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidhananyeva, tatraka paridevana. Where there is birth, birth is not a new phenomena. The unmanifested becomes manifested, that is called birth. And the manifested goes back into unmanifested, that is called death. So, this left side represents what is called Laya. A sword is, what is that? Sword of Democles is always hanging. Then there will be this skull to remind constantly. Many have attained this state. Many will be attaining, you also will attain. Many means not that anybody is exception. Everybody has to bahuvira huve, balavan huve, kitanena mahipat mana huve, abo kaun kaha kuch dhyana dharo, sabunashwar hai mat manu karo, Sri Rama bhajo dukha me vinara. Beautiful song. So, this is the truth, Mother Kali. What is the garland? What does the garland? This garland, if we count, there are 52 skulls. What do the 52 represent? Alphabet. What does this alphabet represent? Every object in this world has a name. Every name is made up of the alphabet. Therefore, it represents all the manifested world. Why did I not say unmanifested? Because unmanifested cannot have any name or form. Unmanifested is unmanifested. Therefore, you can't name it. So, everything in this world is represented by that. It is her garland. That means she is the giving birth, she is the mother, she is the maintainer, and she is also the destroyer. This is what Sri Ramakrishna had a vision. A young woman came out of the Ganges and then she gave birth to a most beautiful baby, and she looked upon the baby, looked after the baby, the greatest love in the world. And next second, she started eating up. This was the idea we get in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Lelihyase grasamana samantat bhishma drona. Everybody was just entering into, like Ghatotkaja, Maya Bazaar Loha. All the things are just going inside of you, watch it. So like that. But we should not be frightened, because what goes in also will come out, and what comes out also will go in. It is a constant phenomena that is going on and on. That is represented, Prakrutim Parama, Abhayam Varadam. This is the concept of the deity, Srishti, Sthiti and Vinasha. Nara Rupadhara, this Divine Mother, just as God incarnates, so also the Divine Mother also incarnates as a Shakti. Every avatara has got his or her own Shakti, either manifested or non-manifested, but none so powerful as in this yuga, because if we study the history of the avataras, we will not see their partners doing any active participation. That's why Yuga Dharma Patrim, she took part in the Dharma Sthapana along with Sri Ramakrishna. If I have to say so, or we have to say so, it is in this Ramakrishna avatara hood, it is the Holy Mother who did most of the Dharma Sthapana. That is why he said, you have to do a lot, I am leaving you behind to distribute. So, Nara Rupadhara, she has taken birth. Is it only this statement, or did Sri Ramakrishna also tell? There are so many incidents which prove like that. But I will just mention one or two, then we will stop here. So, you have to go. So, one day, Swami, Apurvananda, he was a disciple of Holy Mother. He was a young man, young boy, and he came to see Holy Mother. And then he wanted to sit by her side. So somebody, out of her graciousness, she allowed him to sit, because young boy. He was seeing her from his side. He was describing later on, I saw her eyes was burning like fire. I got frightened looking at her. Anybody looks at Holy Mother from a from front, she is the mildest of all creatures. When these robbers confronted her, how did she appear? Mother Kali, the robber will not leave her. They say they had the vision of the Mother Kali in Holy Mother, but immediately she covered it up and made them feel that I am your daughter. Otherwise, simply saying I am your daughter, it is not going to help. Similarly, when Shibuda, one day he was accompanying Holy Mother from Kamarpur to Jairambad. So they reached almost. Suddenly Shibuda had taken into his head, so Mother, people say you are Kali, what do you say? He said, what? Do you look like Mother Kali? I am your auntie, old auntie without teeth and all those things. No, no. Two, three times he asked, she was evading the question. Said, okay, you have come home, I am going back. No, no, Shibu, you have to come with me. How is it? No, you tell me, then I will come. Otherwise, I will not come. And she said, yes, I am Kali. What did Sri Ramakrishna say about Holy Mother? She is the Mother Saraswati, had come to bestow knowledge, but in the form of Bagala. I never understand even today, what does he mean by Bagala? But she is Bagala. So that Dashamahavidya, she is one of them. This is what Nararupadharam. What is her Jana Tapa Haram? She is there to destroy threefold afflictions. We all suffer from Tapa Traya. Traya means three. Tapa means affliction. What is that? Adhyatmika, Adibhautika and Adidaivika are physical, mental and spiritual. We all suffer from. So, Sharon.
Then how is it different than avatara?
Okay, I will answer it to you when the class is over, okay? We'll put it. So, jana tapahara, but she should equally bestow her grace upon everybody. She is there to remove the afflictions. Does she look as though she is reflecting? She is removing? She doesn't seem to be. She is only removing few people, not everybody. What is the reason? Sharanagata Sevaka Toshakariyam. You have to be ready to receive what she is going to give. Otherwise, even mother will not give what we are not ready to receive. Do you understand what I am talking about? If you are a child, mother will give exactly how much you can digest. She won't, even if you are asking more, she will not give. Not because she doesn't want to give. She knows that we are not fit, and it will only bring more affliction. Whatever the child can digest, that much only she is giving. This is the greatest truth I tell you. Whatever we are getting in life is because that is the only thing which we can tolerate, good or bad. She will not give more burden than anything. So when I say burden, I mean also happiness. Suppose somebody gives you more happiness, then you feel like laughing. Just one small example I am giving. Sri Ramakrishna was the greatest fun master in the whole world. Not only fun master, but also fun master. He used to tell jokes. Jokes are of two classifications, vegetarian and non-vegetarian. Some of the vegetarian jokes have taken place in the gospel, etc. Non-vegetarian, our sadhi, face of the print. But Swamiji and others, they used to roar with laughter and say, "Sir, sir, please stop, otherwise we will die." Because so much of laughter is created. So, happiness also can kill. Because the nerves cannot hold that happiness. I'll just give a hint before I stop. So, when a person attains higher spiritual experience, what do you think happens to him? We have to think, not only a wonderful vision, that it will also bring so much of happiness. And that happiness, if our nervous system cannot bear it, there is likelihood that we will simply collapse and die. Massive heart attack will come. This is a fact of life. That is why out of compassion, God also does not really give us more than what we can bear. It is His compassion. Similarly, dukkha also, He will not give more than what we can bear. Sharanagata sevaka tosh. These conditions are, we must surrender and we must also render service. Render service. What service do you render to the Divine Mother? Not possible. But what it means is that if you can accept whatever she is doing, and that is the greatest service you can ever make. Pranamami param jananim jagata. I salute that Divine Mother, not only my mother, she is the mother of the jagatam janani, the mother of the entire universe. That's why she is called Parama Prakruti. So there are 3, 4, 7 plus 3, 10 verses are there. We will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapatme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur.